a deliveries milestone by Flight Design, and a few surprises. A few minutes with Tom Pagini. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. We're going to try to do this over the PA and the air show at Arlington. I'm here with Tom Pagini, who is the president of Flight Design USA and also of Flight Star Incorporated. We're here to talk about a couple of things that relate to both companies. Tom, thanks for taking some time out today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's really a pleasure to be here.
First, let me ask you a little bit about this show at Arlington. I've seen you here a couple of times enjoying the shade in the tent here, but it's been a more successful show for some of the vendors here than the size of the crowd would have suggested.
We have been seeing that at a lot of the air shows. The overall crowd is down, which is a shame for the promoters because that's how they pay for these great shows. But even in the current economic climate, people still want to fly, and there's still a lot of interest from our core group.
Well, now, you recently celebrated a milestone. In fact, I saw the press release. Tell us about sales in the U.S.
We just delivered this week, a couple days ago, our 300th CT series airplane, which is really a nice number, and we're very proud of it. It's been a few years since we went through 100, and then we were the first LSA group to do 200. Now we're the first to deliver 300.
What do you make of a market that, if it hasn't already, it's got to be knocking on the door of 100 different competing models? Some of these guys have gotten their certification or their ASTM sign-off and yet have not sold one airplane. I mean, there are some companies out there in that situation. What is it about your company that has done so much better? Was it just being there first?
Well, I don't think that hurt. The CT is a rather unique product that offers a lot of advantages over other designs. There's many nice airplanes out there, and I just want to say to begin with that I'm a fan of them all. As an enthusiast, I'm glad that they're all there. And we did several things. We immediately set up a distribution network as part of having distributors around the country instead of creating a personal fiefdom in Woodstock, Connecticut, where every airplane came through. That allowed us to share the wealth a little bit and also set up instantly a 7 regional service center locations. And I think that was a big part. Another thing is that we, right from the beginning, sold in fixed dollars. I believe that it is an information-starved activity, and we've always tried to provide as much information about our product as possible because we have intelligent people buying these, and I think that they'd like to make decisions based on information and not on hype. I don't prefer that myself, and we try to avoid that in our copy. I think there's several different... We also allied ourselves with very good people, professionals in the industry, and it really just took off.
When we talked to you a couple of months ago at Lakeland, you were in the process of setting up a pilot center network. Tell us the status of that project and how it's being received.
Well, we've been picking up flight schools, the Flight Design Pilot Center program. We had just launched it at Sun and Fun. And since then, I think we've picked up 4 or 5 new schools. We're just about to sign paperwork on Monday down in Las Vegas with taking on a new distributor for the West Coast who's going to immediately open up 2 more dealerships in addition to Las Vegas in the Southern California market. With that, we're going to immediately go out and approach more flight schools. We're working on a investment package to help people to get lease-back investors. We think the future's pretty bright. Before, when we would go to visit flight schools, they would say, hey, your airplane's neat, but you know, why don't you come back in a couple of years when you grow up? Something changed. Maybe it was $8 a gallon avgas last year. Maybe the pilot population has changed and they're getting more requests for sport pilot training, but we are getting a lot of requests from flight schools. We have a local flight school in Massachusetts where a leaseback investor put one on the line That was successful. It was an SW. And then he moved that over to Ithaca, to the University Flying Club, and bought an LS, put that on the line, and he has just recently got a third airplane, put it down at Hartford at Premier Aviation Hartford Brainerd. And he did it because he enjoyed it. It did not turn into a nightmare for him, and he had positive cash flow on all the airplanes, and it's been a great success.
Why do you think it took so long for guys to figure out who are running flight schools that this made economic sense? I seem to sense that they equated having a light sport aircraft on the line as being a sport pilot training program exclusive piece of hardware, when a well-equipped LSA could be used for any primary training.
Right. You could theoretically take it even higher than a private pilot's license. I think that's part of it. Overall, we still find that most pilots do not understand the sport pilot program or the light sport aircraft program. So we as an industry still have a long way to go for educating even the pilot population, much less trying to bring people in from outside of aviation. And I think that's the main reason. You have to say that Cessna creating their light sport aircraft certainly gave credibility to the whole industry. And perhaps a realignment of people's values in a good way, I think. That's a good outcome of our economic situation, is people getting back to basics instead of taking on a VLJ dealership. You know, some FBOs are interested in getting involved with light sport aircraft, which is a very public-oriented and user-friendly type thing.
Talking with Tom Pagini at Arlington. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WASP GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin WASP GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here talking with Tom Pagini of Flight Design USA, also of Flight Star Incorporated. And Tom, let's talk about a little project you have going on in your garage that sounds very interesting.
I was over at Aero at Friedrichshafen in the spring, and through a mutual friend, Marcus Villinger, who's the Wills Wing hang glider distributor for Europe, introduced me to Tian Lu from Unique Aviation. Unique has been seen over the last few weeks doing the first test flights. They had some video footage on YouTube, and I'm sure AeroNewsNet, of their two-place motor glider, the E430. They're also interested in a FAR-103 compliant ultralight to be powered by a smaller motor and a smaller battery pack. And I've been working on that in every free bit of time that I've had in the last 3 months, and we're trying very hard to get it tested properly before we go to AirVenture this year. It's a single-seat model, an older design called the Spider, with several changes to make it lighter. It had to actually be lighter than the original Pioneer Flight Star, which was the original basis for it, and that was a FAR-103 compliant airplane back in the 80s, and that was powered by a Kawasaki 440 engine with a little wood prop and everything, and it barely made FAR 103 back then, but with the experiences that we had, we had taken that basic airplane and scaled it up to the Flight Star 2, which in certain forms had 912 on them. So we, with the body of knowledge we had now, we were able to scale a bunch of stuff back. All the fastener sizes went down a couple sizes, some lighter push pulls, carbon fiber nose fairing, 35,000s chromoly cage, some really neat mandrel wound off the shelf carbon fiber tubing for the wingtips, and it was really a lot of fun to get back to hands-on stuff.
Well, now that plane is based on a design that's originally yours from long ago.
I was the engineering manager and test pilot for Pioneer International Aircraft, which is a division of Pioneer Parachute Company, which is a Department of Defense contractor for. They made the space shuttle solid rocket booster parachutes and all sorts of things. And we were very successful with it. We sold 700 of those airplanes back then, and it was the basis for my company that I've had for 19 years.
Well, maybe instead of hearing roaring T6s like we are in the background here, at some point we'll hear the soft whir of electric motors everywhere. I noticed that in the ultralight area here this year at Arlington, there's an electric ultralight.
Yep.
And it seems like Oshkosh is going to have its own separate 40-acre track for them here pretty soon, the way it's going.
Well, I hope so. The plane that's here is Mark Byerly from EarthStar, has his Eagle E2000 that he's flying. And Mark Byerly's one of the greatest scientist types, and one of the most creative designers in the ultralight light airplane arena, in my opinion. I've always been a big fan of his, and that's not a propulsion joke anyways. And actually, he and I are working together on just exchanging information, which is a lot of fun because we had worked together before when we had the HKS engines, and I really like him, and I'm really glad to see him get into it. But you're right. I do believe that in the future, there will be a place for electric aircraft for pure recreation. Aviation in the future, and I mean well into the future, not the next 10 years or something, will be challenged to remove all social barriers for us to have the freedom to continue to have recreational flight. And this is a start. I can see in the future sailplane ports with photovoltaics on the roofs, with motor gliders plugged in, and contests run where you have, you know, a 20-minute burst of electricity, then you have to soar. I can see all sorts of things. And actually, if you think of an ultralight type flight, electric power is very appropriate for that type of thing. And I think there will be a future in it, and I'm actually very excited to be part of it.
You know, I think a lot of people look at the state of the electric airplane now, and they see a machine that doesn't have the endurance to do what they think they need an airplane to do. But most people don't fly their airplanes at their potential anyway. There's an awful lot of light general aviation aircraft that get rolled out of the hangar at, you know, after somebody gets home from work and flown for an hour and put back away. Only now you'll be able to do that for 50 or 70 cents or something like that, instead of $1,000 a year in maintenance and a whole bunch of avgas.
Well, that too, and then also hopefully they'll be nearly silent, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to fly near population centers, not bother people. It's just, there's many, many possibilities that come out of it, and I think it's a very exciting time. You know, and even as with the technology as it is right now, they'll make great after dinner airplanes, like you were saying. So the future's pretty bright for it, and it's only going to rapidly improve. The battery technology and the controller technology, and it's just a very exciting time.
Well, Tom, we really appreciate you taking out a few minutes here. Thanks for yelling over the T6, and we wish you all the best. We'll see you at Oshkosh.
Wow. We'll see you there.
My guest has been Flight Design USA President Tom Pagini. Find more information at www.flightdesignusa.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.